For example, I know some Tibetans who moved to Switzerland and went to work in factories there. And even without knowing the language, they managed to make friendships just by smiling and doing their work sincerely and in mainly nonverbal ways, showing that they were just trying to be helpful. There was this one Tibetan who would eat in the cafeteria, where normally people would keep to themselves or sit in small groups. And one day he decided to buy lunch for a group of his co-workers. Before that, people would not ordinarily buy someone lunch unless they knew that person very well. But even though he did not know them well, he bought them lunch. Then the next day, another person bought lunch for the group to reciprocate. Then others started doing that. And soon each day a different person would buy lunch. And through that, they became closer friends.
I once heard the Dalai Lama remark that we can use our own lives as a kind of laboratory where we can experiment with the implementation of the principles he speaks about and investigate for ourselves the truth of his assertions. In thinking over his ideas about work and happiness during a recent trip to my local supermarket, I amused myself by viewing the shopping trip as if it was a controlled experiment designed by some clever researcher. The controlled experimental conditions? Take a half dozen identical checkout stations, identical aisles with identical copies of the National Enquirer, identical cash registers, and identical racks of chewing gum and razor blades. The experimental variable? Add the human factor. Insert a different human being behind each cash register. At this supermarket, there are two checkout clerks who have been working here for some years. I've ended up in each of their lines countless times. Jane is a woman in her mid-30s. She goes about her job efficiently and quickly, yet she rarely says a word other than calling out for a price check. No matter when I've shopped there, she always seems to have a slightly sullen expression, almost on the verge of a scowl. Dorothy, on the other hand, a jolly lady in her late 50s, couldn't be more different. She always engages in friendly banter with her customers, is always smiling and helpful. She asks them about their lives and remembers what they say. She even remembers what they bought last time. It is a delight to listen to her. You can wait in her aisle, standing in line while the person in front of you unloads 137 items, pulls out a 2-inch stack of coupons, and wants to pay with a third-party check. Yet you don't seem to mind. Well, at least you mind less. Dorothy has a sincere interest in food as well as the customers, and often engages in a running commentary about the person's food choices, swapping recipes as she rings up purchases. Oh, I haven't tried that brand of frozen pizza. Is it good? Or, I see you bought Twinkies again. Let me give you a tip. Buy some of the Betty Crocker yellow cake mix, the kind with pudding in the mix, and slice up the pieces thin, then layer it with fresh whipped cream. It's like a homemade Twinkie. Well, at least if your home happens to be in heaven. She was right. She has always struck me as one who genuinely enjoys her work. The difference between Dorothy and Jane not only illustrates the impact of attitude on job satisfaction, but also how one person can make a difference on those around her. Recently, I was restocking a lot of food items at home, so my purchases filled two shopping carts. The bag boy offered to help push one of the carts out to my car, and we spoke as I was loading the groceries into my car. I've always noticed how Dorothy treats her baggers with respect, and some of the younger high school students relate to her as a mother. As we were loading the groceries, the bag boy was telling me about how much more he enjoys his work on the days that Dorothy works, adding, "And it's not just me. When Dorothy is working, everybody seems to be in a better mood, even the manager. I'm not sure why, but things just seem to go better on the days that she's working." The prime importance of the human factor at work